The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, chapter number 29, texts number 1 and 2, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on December 11th, 2006, in Mumbai, India.
Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, 29th chapter, texts 1 and 2. We will simply chant the second verse. But I will read, first of all, individually, the first verse. Because I don't think it was chanted yesterday. The first verse wasn't chanted yesterday, no. Devahutir vacho lakshanam mahad adinam prakrite parashashyacha svarupam lakshate misham yena tat paramarthakam. Bhakti yogasya me margam.
Bhakti yogasya me margam.
Bruhi vishtarasaha prabho.
Bruhi vishtarasaha prabho.
Yatha sankeshu katitam.
Yatha sankeshu katitam.
Yam mulam tatra chakshyate.
Yam mulam tatra chakshyate.
Bhakti yogasya me margam.
Bhakti yogasya me margam.
Bruhi vishtarasaha prabho.
Bruhi vishtarasaha prabho.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Devahuti inquired, "My dear Lord, you have already very scientifically described the symptoms of the total material nature and the characteristics of the spirit according to the Sankhya system of philosophy. Now I shall request you to explain the path of devotional service, which is the ultimate end of all philosophical systems." In this 29th chapter, the glories of devotional service were elaborately explained, and the influence of time on the conditioned soul is also described. And the purpose of elaborately describing the influence of time is to detach the conditioned soul from his material activities, which are considered to be simply a waste of time. In the previous chapter, material nature, the spirit, and the Supreme Lord, or Super Soul, are analytically studied, and in this chapter the principles of bhakti yoga, or devotional service, the essence of activities in the eternal relationship between the living entities and the personality of Godhead, are explained. Bhakti yoga, devotional service, is the basic principle of all systems of philosophy. All philosophy which does not aim for devotional service to the Lord is considered merely mental speculation. But of course, bhakti yoga, with no philosophical basis, is more or less sentiment. And there are two classes of men. Some consider themselves intellectually advanced and simply speculate and meditate. And others are sentimental and have no philosophical basis for their propositions. Neither of these can achieve the highest goal of life. Or if they do, it will take them many, many years. Vedic literature therefore suggests that there are three elements, namely the Supreme Lord, the living entity, and their eternal relationship. And the goal of life is to follow the principles of bhakti, or devotional service, and ultimately attain to the planet of the Supreme Lord in full devotion and love as an eternal servitor of the Lord. Samkhya philosophy is the analytical study of all existence. One has to understand everything by examining its nature and characteristics. This is called acquirement of knowledge. But one should not simply acquire knowledge without reaching the goal of life or the basic principle for acquiring knowledge, bhakti yoga. If we give up bhakti yoga and simply busy ourselves in the analytical study of the nature of things as they are, then the result will be practically nil. It is stated in the Bhagavatam that such engagement is something like husking a paddy. There is no use beating the husk if the grain has already been removed. By the scientific study of material nature, the living entity and the supersoul, one has to understand the basic principle of devotional service to the Lord. Om Jnana Timuram Darsha Yunanjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadam Haivam Dadati Svapadam Tikam. So this reminds us of the very nice description of Srila Prabhupada in his Bhagavad Gita purport, that philosophy without religion is mental speculation, and the opposite, if you have religion without philosophy, then that is sentiment, and sometimes it becomes fanaticism. So we are meant to have that proper balance. And we see even in Srila Prabhupada's name that very nice balance, Bhakti Vedanta. But what is the first item mentioned? Bhakti is first mentioned. So the essential item is Bhakti. But that bhakti should not be without Vedanta. That type of bhakti which is not according to Shruti, Smriti, Puranadi, you see, it is called sahajism. It is sentiment. So in order for that bhakti to be proper, it must be based in Vedanta. But if we simply go for Vedanta with no bhakti, it's shama evi kevalam. I got this very poignant lesson directly from Prabhupada when I was a young brahmachari. I was thinking, we're so busy, 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 I need more time to read. I want more knowledge. So one day, we were in New York with Vishnu John Maharaj, so one day, every day we went to the library and set up with Radha Damodar giving this wonderful preaching, but I said, where's the time to read? And I said, today I'm going to write Prabhupada a letter and ask him if I can have more time to read. when everybody went to the library, I took a separate train and I went to Tompkins Square Park, under the tree where Prabhupada started the movement. So I went to that tree and I wrote Prabhupada a letter asking if I could have more time to read. And he wrote me back, he said, actually there is much time in the day for studying. You see, but you must do the Sankirtan. He said if there is study but there is no practice, it will become dry and useless. So I got my very poignant lesson from Prabhupada that if you simply go for philosophy but you don't apply that philosophy, in the beginning it may seem very nice. And we have seen practically, there was one very nice young man from Sri Lanka who was coming to our center in Austin. He bought the Bhagavatam set. He was so excited, reading canto after canto. Every spare minute he was reading, reading, reading. But he didn't want to chant. He didn't want to actually do any devotional activity. He just wanted to read about it. Before he finished the whole Bhagavatam, he'd lost his enthusiasm. because he didn't want to put it into practice. So it's very good to be enthusiastic, to become learned in this philosophy, to be able to dismantle the, you know, the atheistic scientific arguments. It's very nice. But we have to cultivate this bhakti mood. We have to realize what is the purpose of this Vedantic study. And thus we come to the pure essence, which is complete surrender to Lord Sri Krishna. And we are missing the whole point. Missing it. Prabhupada actually wants us to become spiritually perfect. We're engaging in so many activities to help everyone else become spiritually perfect. Prabhupada said there's nothing more important than saving the world. But even more important is saving yourself. So while we are very busily engaged in the activities of pushing forward this sublime movement, Hare Krishna movement, we have to always make sure we are not neglecting our first and most important preaching project of all, namely ourselves. Am I chanting my rounds nicely? Am I developing proper attitude towards the Vaishnavas? Am I strictly avoiding the Namaparads? In this way, we have to very carefully prosecute the process of bhakti. And this is actually very practical, even in terms of spreading this movement. This is a very practical thing. Because Prabhupada explains in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that if one becomes completely pure in his chanting, if he can chant the holy names without offense, then he can influence the whole world to chant Hare Krishna Mantra. So the idea is, according to our own purification, how much we ourselves have become purified, to that extent we will have potency to distribute books, make devotees, etc. So while we are very eager, we want to flood this world with Prabhupada. We want to see that the high court judges are wearing tilak. While we are doing that, we have to keep the internal purification also emphasized in our own daily life. This point I am making is confirmed in the fifth canto purport. Srila Prabhupada gives very nice expanded translation for Bahir Nasingo, Vidaya Nasingo. We sing it every day. Bahir nasingo, hridaye nasingo. Of course, literally it means nishinga within, nishinga without. Or nishinga without, nishinga within. Prabhupada has given a very nice expanded explanation of the meaning. Here's how he explains. May Lord Nishingadvev dwell within my heart, killing all of my bad propensities, so that my mind may become perfectly clean and that I can spread peace to the entire world. So to the extent that we have Nishinga within, to that extent we can expand the Shinga without. So this is why we have morning program. Morning program is here We begin the first thing, purifying our own heart. Our first sankirtan spot for doing sankirtan every day is right here. First thing, we do sankirtan right here. And then we engage in sankirtan, going here, going there, distributing books, preaching, trying to make devotees, etc. Managing all of these things. Sankirtan movement. We engage in the wonderful revolutionary activities of the sankirtan movement to flood this planet with the mercy of Śrīla Prabhupāda. So the poor souls of this age can become happy. Prabhupāda would sometimes simply observe the karmis in Melbourne on morning walk in beautiful serene park with the devotees. He was seeing on the roadway all the karmis, they were coming in rush hour. Prabhupāda was crying, feeling so sorry for them. They're simply rushing, shrama eva kevalam, no benefit. What is the benefit? They're struggling. What are they achieving with this hard labor? Nothing, no benefit. Prabhupada was pained to see such civilization. So, we have to learn from Śrīla Prabhupāda how to feel this compassion so that we can increase more and more our determination that everyone must have a book, everyone must have this opportunity to become Krishna conscious. Otherwise, they are simply being dragged down by the laws, the cruel laws of nature, to the lower species of life. This planet is not meant to be hellish like this. Of course, in one sense, it is the Kali Yuga. But actually, this Kali Yuga is meant to be a special opportunity for those who are serious to get out of this entanglement. In fact, the great sages, they worship the Kali Yuga as the best of all ages, the very best age. Because it's so much easier to become enlightened in this age. In our short lifespan of 100 or less years, we can achieve complete perfection. But in the Satya Yuga, it took tens of thousands of years. In a few mere decades, we can achieve the same thing. We simply have to be very, very, very determined to please our beloved Śrīla Prabhupāda. Simply have to be very, very determined to do what Prabhupāda wants. We should always be very introspective. Actually, every thought, every word, and every deed should be totally pleasing to Śrīla Prabhupāda. If there's some thought in my mind, I should look at that thought and I should think, is that thought pleasing to Prabhupāda? If there's some word coming out of my mouth, I should watch those words coming out of my mouth. Are these words pleasing to Śrīla Prabhupāda? If I'm engaged in some activity, I should be observing, what am I doing? Is this activity pleasing Śrīla Prabhupāda? In this way, we should always be connected with His Divine Grace, our beloved Founder Acharya. He is the absolute authority of this movement. No one has any status or any position in this movement except according to how much they are lined up with Prabhupāda. That's all. Prabhupada's Shakti is the only thing for this movement. So we have to see, is Prabhupada pleased with me? Is he satisfied with my attitude, my activities, my speaking? In this way, if we mold our lives for the pleasure of his divine grace, then we will taste the sweetest nectar at every minute. Every day will be a wonderful glub jam, oozing with juice, bhakti rasa. So I think we only have like 5 minutes left, is that correct? The curtain, 7:15 darshan? Yeah, so we can ask now if there's some questions. And you'll have to enunciate clearly because I'm hard of hearing. If you have any questions. Yeah.
Devotional service. We also do a lot of hard work, and we have intense desire to be part of our movement in a very nice way, so that it can please Prabhupada.
Nice way?
Okay.
Okay.
So that it can be pleasing to Prabhupada. So in our efforts, what are our efforts called? Is it Shramaya Vedi Kevalam, or they are, to some extent or to some degree connected with the Prabhupada's movement and ultimately what we call Shramaya, what we call endeavors?
I can't make, there's so much echo in here, I'm losing most of it. But you're saying, what is the position of our efforts? Yes. The nicest way to understand this is just consider Arjuna and Krishna, that relationship. Actually, Krishna is doing everything, but Arjuna is meant to be instrument. And actually, Krishna says, you fight and take the credit. So actually, we place ourselves as instrument of Guru and of Krishna. And by doing that, we actually are given credit. Prabhupada explains in third canto purport that the Lord likes to see his devotee as the hero of some episode of which the Lord himself is the actual doer. So actually Krishna is doing the whole thing. And even Prabhupada said, I'm simply a puppet in the hands of Krishna. Krishna is doing the whole thing, but he wants to see the devotees get the credit. So we simply place ourselves as instruments in the hands of Guru and Krishna. But Krishna, if one is sincerely doing that, then Krishna, he will give all credit. He wants to see the devotee receives all credit for what he is doing. Just like our godbrother, Shyam Sundar Prabhu. He worked so hard to do that construction at Dairy Place. And Prabhupada wanted there should be some sign recognizing the hard work that he had personally done. There should be a sign over the door that this... Prabhupada gave the wording of how it should be worded. How Shyama Sundar Das had, by his hard labor, this had been accomplished. So Prabhupada gives all credit to his disciples and grand disciples who are dedicating their whole lives to working hard. He gives them all credit. But they give the credit, they don't take the credit, they give the credit to Guru and Krishna. You see. The Vaishnava, he likes to give the credit to others. That is his mood. He likes to give the credit to his Guru Maharaj, and his Guru Maharaj gives the credit to his Guru Maharaj, and then goes all the way to Krishna, and then Krishna gives it back to the devotees. Credit is one thing that in Vaishnava circles, everyone wants to keep passing it on. Passing it, passing it, passing it. As soon as you get the credit, it comes to you. Oh, pass it to someone else. Remember, we had a little game we played in America when we were kids called Hot Potato. It's like a creditor is like a hot potato. Whoop, pass it to someone else. But it keeps coming around and around and around. It never stops. In Vaishnava circles, the credit is always circulating. It never stays in one place. Because nobody wants the credit. Everyone wants to keep giving the credit. So in this way, we have to work very, very hard like Prabhupada did. He said, there's no bigger karmi than me. I'm traveling all over the world at this age. You see. We are meant to be work harder than karmis, actually. But the mentality is not karmi. The mentality is like swam. Sometimes in some kirtan movement, it's so passionate, it's like a hurricane. But in the middle of the hurricane, there is the I. Very calm and peaceful. In the center of the hurricane, it's completely calm and peaceful. So Prabhupada was like that. There's a huge ISKCON hurricane swirling all around him. Unparalleled passion and enthusiasm, all kinds of activities. But he was just coming through it serene and cool the whole way. In the eye of the hurricane, Krishna's lotus feet. So, I think our time... I have this Mahapushana with Radha-damodar, but I can't give it out now because of this. I have to think of some other venue for this chitta. Grantarad Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.